Previously on Viva Laughlin.
Hello, my media masochists, and welcome to The Worst Show on Earth, a podcast where my friends and I watch truly bad TV in an ongoing effort to find the absolute worst. I'm Matt Murphy, and I played Moonface Martin in my high school's production of Anything Goes. With me is Rachel Bieber, who's been training her dog to yodel.
Not true.
Was it to not yodel?
Yes.
Oh. What is your background with musical theater, Rachel?
Well, when I was 6 years old, I was in a pilot. It was a variety show called Chedva's Gang with an Israeli singer, Chedva. I was taught songs by Sarah Jessica Parker. It was a very interesting experience.
Sarah Jessica Parker?
Yeah.
Wow.
Let's see. Oh, I was in Bye Bye Birdie. In like elementary school, and I was in a singing and dancing troupe called Yad Biyad, and we went all over Southern California and performed.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had no, that's all news to me. All of that is brand new information. We've also got with us Alex Humphrey. Alex.
Yes.
What is your favorite musical?
Ooh, that's tough. I can't say I have a lot of experience in musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my high school's like dropout kids acting class, which unfortunately, in defiance of stereotypes, continued to suck the entire time and did not end up putting on the great musical at the end of the year.
Oh.
But if I had to pick one, I would say probably the stage production of The Producers.
Ah.
Which is incredible.
That is a lot of fun.
It is the movie and more.
And finally, we have that famous siren of the internet, the merman himself, Tachi, the human IMDb.
Siren of the internet?
I was trying to shoehorn in that you had written an entire mermaid musical television series.
It is, in fact, all on paper. that's what, and it became a musical by accident.
Oh, that's, I didn't
you
know
you made
that.
Accidental music?
He is the guy who every time we run one of our tabletop games plays a character who comes up with a song on the spot every time.
Yeah, once it happened the first time, it had to happen every time. Which is what happened with my mermaid script. The first episode, I was like, oh, exposition. You know, writers hate exposition. But I'm like, wait, I've got three mermaids who are basically Disney princesses. They can sing the exposition. Problem solved. Then when I was
Wait a second.
What?
You're saying you use songs in your musical to progress the story.
Oh, you noticed that I said that, eh?
Ooh, well...
Are you Canadian all of a sudden?
I'm channeling Katie the Canadian. Call back!
Call back. And maybe we should call back to the premise of our podcast.
Oh, yes.
Where we watched some bad TV today, guys. We went on a hell of a road trip. We just finished watching the only extant episode of 2007's big musical bomb, Viva Laughlin. This show is infamous for being canceled after only two episodes aired, despite Hugh Jackman being in the main cast and serving as a producer. So, can you believe it, guys? Can you believe this was canceled?
I can believe it was canceled, and I'm really surprised that we watched it, because I was fairly sure that we were watching shows that were inexplicably renewed for a whole season.
No, we take dalliances like this off into the avenues of rare exclusive crap. Let me tell you, this show is hard to find.
Yes.
Like, when you say it was the only extant episode and it's like missing 5 minutes because it randomly has parts cut out of it,
mm-hmm.
you mean it. Yeah. I scoured the internet, and I'm good at scouring the internet. I found nothing of this
show.
Yeah,
I'm okay at that too. People sitting on this couch right now, we're pretty good at finding things that aren't meant to be found.
IT, librarian, YouTube professional.
And I have a few sites that I frequent.
What?
I don't pirate. I've never pirated.
Neither have I.
So for all you federal agents listening out there, we've never stolen anything. We could not find episode 1, the pilot. So we instead watched episode 2 of the series, which was apparently entitled What a Whale Wants.
We did watch one scene from the first episode.
So we watched, there is one other musical number. So the show, Viva Laughlin, is a bizarre jukebox karaoke.
It's like Hop
musical?
Rock.
No.
It's like Hop Rock had original songs.
Yeah. Original songs.
Oh, you're right.
These are all pop songs. So the show features pop song numbers where the characters will sing over the song.
Not just sing over the song, but unlike Cop Rock, the singing does tangentially have to do with what they're doing and does feel like it moves the scene along.
Yeah.
It feels like it gets the scene over with, for certain, but, like, it falls into all the other potholes of music that Cop Rock falls into. The songs are boring to watch, jarring to listen to, because, like, when we say, it's not like karaoke where the original lyrics have been removed. We've got our star singing and the original lyrics playing at the same time.
I thought I was hearing something wrong.
Yeah, when sounds terrible.
When we watched Hugh Jackman, because he's a good singer, yeah. And he sang Sympathy for the Devil.
He did.
And this was on YouTube, so I thought, and as we'll talk about, the images were certainly very fuzzy, but entertaining. And I was like, oh, clearly the audio is messed up, because it actually sounds like Hugh Jackman is singing over the Rolling Stones singing. That's exactly what was happening.
Yep. Yeah.
What do we say about that Hugh Jackman scene?
So, Hugh Jackman plays casino mogul something Fontana. Maybe Nick. I don't know. It doesn't matter. So, he plays something Fontana, and he arrives on the roof of his casino in his private helicopter, and he's, like, high-fiving people and spanking women on the butt and just walking through his casino. Every single person who works for him seems to be a model. And they're all jiggling their jiggly bits in front of him while he sings Sympathy for the Devil.
As he does magical feats throughout the casino. Because every time he shakes somebody's hands or points at a machine, it spews money. Or they win.
He's just that much in control. That's his world.
I have a strong... I'm confident that if the show had aired more episodes, we would just see Hugh Jackman appearing on occasion.
Yeah, That sounds about right.
He, however, did not appear in person in episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
Nor in terrifying Ghost Blair.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. We cracked open What a Whale Wants after being exposed to the bizarre sort of overdubbing singing of the song that is the signature of the series. And there's several plots that are playing out. Our protagonist is some guy named Rip. Something or other.
Ripley Holden.
Rip Holden.
Ripley.
They call him Rip.
What?
Yeah, they call him Rip.
I only heard Ripley, but
yeah. I just called him Viva.
Oh.
I know. So Rip Viva, which is a great name now that I hear it out loud. Rip Viva wants to be a casino mogul, and he's about to open his casino, the Viva, when the guy who was his partner, who had $6 million in the venture, decides to pull out at the last minute.
Then get murdered.
The next morning, he's found murdered in Rip's business office.
Yeah, that's not good.
So they still have to open the casino despite it not being finished?
And, yeah.
I think it just doesn't have the funds to, like, pay out when people win.
But they were still, near the last scene, they were still putting up,
like, chandeliers and, like, they had ladders around. It's not a well-constructed world.
Oh, no. The world is... A Lego world would be more sturdy.
Yes.
They were clearly in Burbank at one point.
Yes. They were in Burbank at a lot of points.
I remember this show filmed during my background acting days, and I kept trying to get on it.
Oh!
I guess I don't look good in a scanty red dress.
What? I don't believe that.
I appreciate that.
It was shot in Burbank, also on location at the Morongo Resort and Casino.
So it was not filmed at all in Las Vegas, or I mean Nevada.
No. Yes, it takes place, we should mention, in Laughlin, Nevada.
Which is why it's Viva Laughlin.
Yeah. It makes no sense.
No, it does make sense. Isn't this based off of a very popular British show?
Yes, the show is, the series, because they're British, is called Blackpool. What? And then, like, the last season was called Viva Blackpool, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's why it's called Viva Laughlin now.
Oh.
And it's fundamentally the same plot, where it's an a guy owns an arcade in the town of Blackpool. He wants it to become a casino, and then his partner gets murdered.
Oh.
The same thing sort of happens.
But they have jaunty British accents.
Yes.
And David Tennant.
And ooh. David Tennant plays the cop investigating the murder.
Can we talk about the cops in this show?
Oh my god,
because they are the worst movie detectives ever.
So our lead detective is some douche named Carlisle.
Peter.
Who also goes by Peter when he's skulking around stalking Rip's wife, played by Twin Peaks' Madgen Abnick.
Wow, way to nail her name.
Thank you.
But he has like a partner too, who's just like his dopey Watson.
Oh, he's so dopey. There are two dopey sidekicks in this show too. There's Chubby Cop, and then there's Jonesy, the beleaguered Jewish accountant.
Do we want to just do Peter's plot line, get it out of the way? It's icky.
It is really icky.
But like he appears more than just in his plot line across the episode, because he's investigating Rip. And like any good detective, investigating Rip mostly involves accosting him in public places or in his place of business and being like, "What were you doing that night? People say you weren't there. Maybe you were shooting someone."
Oh.
And stalking his wife.
And stalking his wife.
Yeah. At one point, he tries gotcha questions that involve fishing. It's like, he's like, "Oh, I was fishing that day." "Fishing, eh? What were you fishing for?" "Bass." "It's not bass season. What the hell? Just say fish." Does anyone go fishing with a plan on what they're going to catch?
Yes.
Where do you fish in Nevada?
I don't... Ooh,
that's another Lake Mead.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. That does
have fishing. The Colorado River.
Yeah. That's in Colorado.
No. What?
That was a humor joke. That was a humor joke.
You're so American in your geography needs.
So Peter keeps stalking Ripley's wife.
Now, here's a question I have, because I think that relationship is established in episode one. Does he know it's Ripley's wife?
He has to, right?
Yes.
Or else he's an even shittier cop than should be allowed on TV.
So is he doing it because he's trying to solve the case? Or because he has the hots for her? And to be clear, whether or not he knows she's Ripley's wife, he definitely knows she's married.
Yes.
Because she wants nothing to do with him in any scene she's in him with.
In that scene she's in when he finds her at work and like goes into her crisis center where she works and starts talking to her, he does try to question her about her husband. And then the screen kind of crunched out.
He tries to couch it in like, "Man, does your husband ever lie to you?" Like a sort of like, "Man, you can relate to this with your duplicitous, murderous husband, right?" Does he hide guns in the house? Just, you know, in theory.
I think he is both investigating the murder and has a boner for Mad Janet.
Oh, clearly. I mean,
look at her.
Oh, she's... Oh my gosh, she's even looks even better than she did in Twin Peaks.
I mean, when you could see her. I feel like we have to talk about the visual look of this episode.
It was the most exciting thing about watching this.
So we watched a YouTube rip of this.
The YouTube rip of this.
It's the only one that exists on the internet. And there are some things, some visual artifacting and digitization errors that frequently turned it into some sort of LSD trip.
It had a very trippy quality.
Yeah.
It's like the scene would appear, like, but only movement would be rendered. So like you'd have like a shot that suddenly like another character would just pixelate into the shot and wipe it into a new screen.
I remember very distinctly a cut where suddenly just a woman's eyes and mouth were like on or just floating above some static snow. It was horrifying. It was like the Pokemon Jinx was coming after me.
Now, dear viewer, you might think this makes this show worse, but it's the only thing visually interesting about the show to watch. Because when it's not pixelating and going crazy, it is the most boring cinematography. lame shots, no tracking, nothing dynamic, even the musical numbers. There's no visual humor whatsoever. There's no visual pacing. They don't even have like exciting scenes to convey excitement by walking. They're always in a location standing around.
Yeah, the internet describes this as a part drama, part musical, and part comedy. I wouldn't know this was trying for comedy if it didn't have some music in the background that was like this. Doot-doot, 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 doot-doot. And that was to let you know that this scene was funny.
That was during the inane family squabbles section of the show, if I recall correctly.
Oh, yeah.
Because our good buddy Rip has a family. We mentioned Madchen Amick, his wife. Then he has tall, skinny son.
Yep, yep.
And really pissed off daughter.
Because apparently he beat up her boyfriend in episode one.
Oh, right. He stalked his daughter's boyfriend and punched him in the face.
Doot, 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 doot.
And he's like, come on.
Yeah, it wasn't funny.
Now the kids have a plot subplot too.
They do.
Each of them has their own.
The daughter has the subplot where she's going to a party in the desert and has to bring the son along.
She's also moving out of the house.
Is she though, or is it just a gesture?
No, she left because she lives with Anna Kendrick now.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh. There were some big names in this. Melanie Griffith, Anna Kendrick, DB Woodside, Eric Winter.
Wolverine. And
A. Martinez.
Solid cast.
Solid cast.
No, the casting wasn't the issue. They had many talented actors, though.
It was the script.
Singing parts were given to people who shouldn't have had them.
Our protagonist, who is Rip, Rip Viva,
Rip
cannot fucking sing. He had the worst voice, and when they zoomed in on his face, his face looked to me like a poorly carved baked ham.
That's
just
not nice.
He was just so like spray tanned, and like the wrinkles are in the weird places. And,
well,
like,
he's supposed to be in Nevada. It's very hot there.
I suppose everyone does take on a leathery quality in Nevada. It's true.
But they didn't even bother to auto-tune him.
Ugh, that would have helped a lot.
And his song was I'm Still Standing, and it was shot over flashbacks starting in 1983, moving on to 1989, 94, and 97.
Oh, I wrote a bunch of complaints about this in my notes. You know when you do a musical number, how like reality kind of falls apart and just you can do whatever you want? So like if you have a musical number with flashbacks, you should probably have yourself in the flashback singing.
Yeah.
Like, the flashback should be part of the musical number. It shouldn't just be a scene that's silent with the music over it.
Yeah. So, we have in the flashback, Rip establishes his fortune where he builds Rip Mart, which is some sort of hardware store that he develops into a chain. And marries Madchen Amick and blah, 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 blah.
They have babies.
They have two babies. Two is a lot, if you ask me. He can't sing. He's the worst. He's just a crappy protagonist. Like, I'm not rooting for him. He's so fucking smug. Where he's like, yeah, I got all the answers. I know how to count cards. Don't you worry, Jonesy. Blah, 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 blah.
All right, so
do we think he's the murderer?
No.
No, it's too obvious.
No, I don't think it's him.
I don't think it's Bunny either.
But he has the gun, because his son, while working in the garage, finds a gun taped in a bag underneath the tool box. Which, if you have that much money and you have a casino and you've got, like, vaults everywhere, why would you tape it to the bottom of your tool box?
That's because they're framing him. Somebody's trying to frame
him. Oh, you think someone's trying to frame him? Yeah. Okay, that's clever.
Oh, we are getting invested.
Invested in a show we'll never be able to see.
But the son finds the gun. And the rest of the son and the daughter stuff happens at the party in the desert. There are these douches that are they're icky guys. They're hitting on his sister, and he kind of steps in. And a fight starts, and all of us were rooting for him to pull out the gun.
Right.
To pay off that he found a gun.
It was Chekhov's gun, in the most literal sense. He found a gun. He has to pull the gun.
We were so pumped. Instead, he gets punched on the ground, and I think we're done with all of the son and daughter plots.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
I think we cleared the detective plot. There was a brief subplot with the mogul the mogul's wife, who is this shrieking Melanie blonde Griffith. Heiress.
Mm-hmm. She has pink cigarettes.
Yeah. So she's not the mogul's wife. She was the victim, murder victim's wife.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
And her name is Bunny. And yeah.
She doesn't get the inheritance.
She does not get the inheritance. And I kept thinking she was Tori Spelling, even though she's Melanie Griffith.
I don't know if there's anything to say about this plot line.
Nope.
No, she comes in later. Yeah. She plays into it later. She doesn't get any money from the will, because the will was changed the night of the murder.
Yeah. Which cannot be legal.
I don't think it's legal, no.
No, the lawyer is totally like, it's legal.
Oh, yeah. He looked totally on the up and up.
Can we get to the main plot?
So let's talk about the main plot. The casino's in trouble, guys.
Oh, was that the main plot?
Yeah. We had to figure out how to save the Viva.
Man, Matt, what would you do to... How would you launch a plan to save your casino?
Well, I probably would have put up some sort of advertising campaign before we opened, to begin with. Because by the time you open the casino, you're pretty much fucked if no one's there. But if I had to, what I would do is seduce a big player with large women.
Did you write this script?
No, it's just what speaks to me.
So, over at the Fontana...
The Fontana, yeah.
The Fontana.
The rival casino.
Where Hugh Jackman isn't this episode.
D.B. Woodside is.
D.B. Woodside, who played...
Principal Wood.
Principal Wood on Buffy the Vampire
Slayer. And he plays the whale. What's his name?
Sweet Lenny.
Sweet Lenny. Who's like a really good gambler. And is this a real thing, viewers? Has anyone ever heard of this? Where you're like such a good gambler that you're surrounded constantly by a cheering crowd of people?
A whale is a concept where like something so big sort of carries its own ecosystem with it in the way. So the whale makes like a seismic shift when it shows up. And that's, and it comes on and goes, and it's in a lot of like, financial stuff like stocks. A whale can move stocks. That sort of shit.
Does it work with casinos?
Yeah, why not? I mean, there's a reason why casinos want big wallet players. It's not just to take all their money. It's that if you're shown giving someone a good time, then other people are gonna come.
I guess this is all very possible. It just came off as very cartoonish that a crowd of people would follow this guy wherever he goes to watch him play cards.
Because he's playing for such big numbers.
Whoa, that's right. There's a moment where they cut to an extra and you just hear her say, "Do you see all that money?"
Yeah.
This was a big day for her.
So they have two plans to seduce him.
Yeah.
The first one is he's into fat women. Fat bottom girls. Like the song, haha. Which plays, because they get like... one of the dealers from the Laughlin, yeah. And she gussies herself up, and they go out to the Fontana, but the high roller, the whale, is already knee-deep in
plus-size
models.
What I remember most about this scene is the way my body sank into your futon. They get this large woman in... Nice outfit that she can remove by the swimming pool. Mm. And as they're strutting to the pool, I hear the instrumental of Fat Bottom Girls playing, and I was just, okay.
Yeah,
just one of those sort of first idea out the gate sort of things. Let's play Fat Bottom Girls while we do this scene.
And no one's singing it this time.
Yeah.
They're just playing Fat Bottom Girls.
Oh, you're right. It isn't even a musical number like the other musical numbers.
Well, unless the YouTube rip we watched skipped
all of the singing, I think that's difficult to believe.
I don't know. It's hard to know what we didn't see.
Fair enough.
Thank you, Donald Rumsfeld.
The more you know.
So this plan fails. And then they try another plan where Rick goes, like, to the dude's table, sits down, and, like, challenges him to, like, a one-deck game of blackjack back at his casino with no limits.
Yes. It's offering him better odds because the shoe, which is the thing that holds all the cards,
mm-hmm.
It was a five-deck shoe. at the Fontana, but at the Viva. Oh, well, they talked him down to a one-deck shoe.
And this is good for him because he's a card counter, and it's real easy to count one deck.
And there you have it.
There you have it. And this was really dissatisfying to me because it broke the rule of threes.
Oh.
Because they fail once, comedically. So you're like, okay, they're going to fail again, comedically. And then they're going to succeed, desperately. On like some crazy bit. And instead, he just succeeds the second time. And I didn't realize how important the rule of three was until they broke it in this episode. And I was like, wow, that was really dissatisfying. I guess the rule of three is pretty important.
So you felt ripped off. You wanted more antics.
It is supposedly a comedy, right? Yeah.
Supposedly.
Like, did we really need more scene in the desert? Another scene with the detective stalking his wife?
Yeah, I think let's really make it clear just how just not fun the show is.
It's pretty grueling.
It's a hard watch.
No one, I don't think there's the only like character who you like is Mad Genamic, because she's like doing stuff with her life.
Yeah,
everyone else is kind of different shades of scumbag.
My note, pathetic. My note was so much happening, but nothing is happening.
And then it concludes with a high-stakes game of blackjack, which is certainly interesting in real life when it actually has stakes. But in television, watching players slowly play cards is not gripping cinema.
That is absolutely something that I've thought with many movies. I have never found watching cards to be an exciting thing in a movie, in a TV show. It's whatever happens in the game happens because that was in the script.
Right.
So I'm never excited.
Yet the thrill of random chance is gone. And all it is, it's replaced by the boredom of people flipping paper over dramatically.
But movies always find different angles at which you see the cards get flipped.
Not Viva Laughlin, though.
Oh, not even Viva Laughlin.
They were more concerned about the chips. Where, like, he's, like, picking up chips and, like, making them rain and, like, jiggling them around.
The show does have these, like, moments of, like, celebratory decadence like that. Where it'll be, like people spraying money and tossing chips. That make you think it's going to have a kind of, like, crazy, maybe like a little Breaking Bad-ish celebratory tone, like a little bit of madness to it. That the excitement of those like tossing chips and big money just doesn't transfer to the rest of the episode.
We didn't mention one of the songs that Ripley sings, and then the other guy whose name I forgot,
Sweet Lenny,
Ethan from Lost. Is money, the best things in life are free. You can give them to the birds and be. I want some. Can I use that melody? Oh crap!
That's
what I want. That song is used twice, and just like you say, Alex, that should be fun and celebratory and people grooving, and I think both versions were quite boring.
All the musical numbers are boring. You just wait for them to be done. They're not exciting. They're not interesting.
They don't move the story forward is the biggest problem. They are just there to give you, like, a snapshot that happens to be a minute and a half long of the character's emotional state. And we know that already because we're watching them have the emotional state through the acting the actor accomplishes.
I disagree. I think that the musical numbers do speed through exposition much better than Cop Rock did. Cop Rock, it was like ancillary song that has very little to do with what's going on and static camera movements.
Sure. I'm more referring to the lyrics. The lyrics aren't specifically about what's going on.
Oh, no. The lyrics are just there. It's just a song that's there.
Yeah.
And I made that note as well. The first song we watched that, like, he's talking about, like, pleased to meet you, but there's no mystery to his character.
Right.
This is the first thing. This introduces Hugh Jackman, our antagonist, I think, to the show. And he's singing a song about, like, I'm here now, pleased to meet you, guess my name. Like, that should be the theme of the scene then. Like, who is this guy who has all this money?
Guess my name works in a song about the devil, not when it's sung by a guy whose name is on all the billboards.
I went in going, okay, I know nothing about this show. Is this a supernatural show, and is this guy the devil? Because he seems to be making money rain when he points at things.
I think that was just...
That was just musical number magic.
Musical indulgence, yes. I do believe. I don't think he is actually the devil.
But I would like to watch the show you just described.
Yeah.
That would be a better show.
Guys,
we... How would we know? We've only seen episode.
Here's the thing, guys, about
this. I want our casino to work, but the one down the street is run by the devil.
In Laughlin.
So here's the problem with this show, though. I just don't think there's enough of it in existence for us to judge whether or not it's the worst.
I don't think it's the worst at all.
Better or worse than Cop Rock?
I think it was worse than Cop Rock.
I think it's better than Cop Rock because I didn't want to gouge my eyes out.
I think it's worse than Cop Rock.
Yeah.
No.
I think the most interesting thing about it for me was the visual glitches. If the YouTube visual glitch is the most interesting thing about your show, you've made a shitty, shitty show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cop Rock, while these songs, they would randomly happen, they didn't always relate to what was going on, but the performers were competent.
But were any of them as stunningly attractive as this cast? I will say no.
Crazy Chief.
No. You have very weird tastes.
Post-surgery mayor.
Ah, there you go.
Oh, no,
my.
Not
for me. Schleppy forensics guy.
No, nope, not even
who his... Who ate next to corpses at a restaurant.
Not even his dowdy wife.
We should finish the plot line. Never did.
Oh, right.
We
abandoned that.
Yes.
There's a twist.
So the twist... So the whale ends up winning big at the Viva, which is horrible news for Jonesy's ulcer, because he's just like, yo!
Poor Jonesy.
We lost all the money, Rip! He's not that stereotypical. I'm adding it.
He is. You're making him a little more of a, you're killing me, Larry.
Yeah.
Wait, that's a real guy, by the way.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the actual voice of the actual accountant.
He's not hamming it up?
Nope, that is him.
I need to see this person.
Does he go to your library?
No, he is acquainted with my mother.
How many celebrities do you know, Rachel?
Quite a few.
Can you introduce me to the chief from Cop Rock?
No.
Damn it. His name's Ronnie Cox.
Okay. Back on track.
Oh, right.
Back on track. The whale wins big at the Viva, and that is terrible news for Jonesy. But Rip is like, Jonesy, don't worry about it. We'll be fine. That money's gonna come back sometime. We got all these people in the casino now. And it's true, they have now actually customers at the Viva.
Yeah, like five of them.
At least.
It's amazing.
It's quintupled their audience. So then Josie's like, I need you to buy me a drink now. Okay. So they drive to a dive bar somewhere. No establishing shot. No idea where the hell they are.
Burbank.
It's probably Burbank.
They could be in the Viva for all we know.
Yeah.
It's true.
They could have been. I thought that. Why would you leave the Viva? You get free drinks there. It's a casino. And you own it.
But anyway, there is a reason why they would have to leave.
There is a reason. So as Jonesy and Rip are drinking, who walks in but the whale himself, Sweet Lenny, in a baseball cap and a button-up flannel.
No one would ever recognize
never,
him.
Never, never, never. And it turns out he has a briefcase full of cash that he's handing back to Rip. Because apparently this was all part of the plan. Rip knew Sweet Lenny from maybe prison, and they worked some scheme out.
Sweet Lenny owed him. That was it. Sweet Lenny's like, Square.
So Sweet Lenny owes him a favor, and Rip also gives Sweet Lenny the money.
Less expenses.
Then Lenny gives the money back. So Lenny never spent any of his own money while he was rolling.
All it was for was to just get more people in the casino. Happy ending, I guess.
Yeah. Jonesy's like, oh, yay, the money!
The money!
money!
Oh, did we forget to tell people about Jonesy and how he lives with his mother who packs him liverwurst?
Yeah, like, who does that?
I missed that part of his character. I was zoning, I guess.
Yeah, it was a throwaway joke.
Poor Jonesy.
Because this is a comedy.
As you can tell by the two sidekick characters, Schlub Cop and Jonesy.
Does Schlub Cop talk?
Yeah, he would talk in like copy one-liners.
No, he wouldn't even do that. He'd just repeat things Carlisle would say. Like some sort of fat parrot.
So I think that the weird musical aspect of the show is why it mainly lives in infamy, because there are so many shows that get canceled after a couple episodes.
Yeah.
But this one does have a little more infamy than most of them, and it had to be people sitting down watching this show, kind of a soap opera, kind of a sexy show about casinos, and then bad musical numbers just popped up!
Yeah.
With the actual song playing in the background.
I wonder if they started shooting it and realized that the actors that they'd hired couldn't sing and were like, you know what? We're going to try this thing. We'll just have them sing over the actual songs.
Auto-tune, though. Auto-tune.
Here's the thing. I believe that the singing over the song is from the original series, Blackpool, where they did the exact same thing with other pop songs.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to watch some Blackpool.
It sounds terrible to me. So maybe, though it is well-regarded.
Terrible, you say.
And it did well, and it stayed on for several episodes.
So. Yes, and Cleopatra got 2 seasons.
That's true. And my mother, the car, got 3.
I'm so glad you've been researching that.
Of course. It's too brilliant.
A thought popped in my head. So you know how I said I tried to get on this show? And I'm really sad that I didn't, because how cool would it have been if I popped up while we were watching this?
That would have been amazing.
We'd have lost our goddamn minds. But, and this may be foreshadowing a future episode of our podcast, I remembered that I did do background acting on a show that also kind of lives in infamy and got canceled after a few episodes.
Oh?
Cavemen.
Oh.
I have wanted to put Cavemen on this show for months now. I always suggest
it. This is
the first
I've heard of it.
I suggest it to Matt. Matt is the showmaster.
Oh.
I had forgotten about Cavemen. I keep forgetting about Cavemen.
Because it is so that forgettable.
But talking about Viva Laughlin has got us saying, what do you guys want to watch next time? I'm just conveying what state this show has put us all in. It's not a fun watch. It is a soap opera without intrigue. It is a musical without fun. It is a comedy where they forgot to put humor in it, but they put doop-de-doop-doop music in it. Viva Laughlin.
No Viva Laughlin.
No Viva Laughlin.
No Viva. Well, the fat lady has sung over this recording, and which I didn't know when I wrote this how apt that would be. So that's going to do it for us today on The Worst Show on Earth. If you enjoyed our discussion, please subscribe and leave us a rating. It'll help us get things moving. If there's anything you'd like to ask us or have a show to suggest we watch, maybe Cavemen, or maybe you want to correct us on some stupid inane thing we said.
Or maybe Cavemen.
You can send an email to worstshowonearth@gmail.com. Again, that's worstshowonearth@gmail.com. And if you want even more of our antics, Alex, Tachi, and myself can be found on the Scabby Rooster Twitch channel on our RPG live stream, The Demi Dozen. We play a game called Scion, where we're the chosen of the gods of old, causing a ruckus in modern times. Join us for some mythical mayhem, Sundays at 4 p.m. Pacific time. Until next time. Enjoy what you watch, no matter how crappy it is.
I'd like to place a bet. $250,000. Let it ride. Solve your problems, Ripley. It's a start.